Blog Talk Radio.
He said radio, breaking news.
I have, out of those three front guys, at least one of them.
On the depth chart, so it looks like Corey's earlier right now at 7%.
Funky combination of maybe a zero, maybe a little prime zombo, maybe a little zero.
You're listening to the best hacker radio show on the internet. With tonight's guest from the Green Bay Press Gazette, Wes Hotquist.
Well, John, we're back at disagreement again. It was a short romance. But we're back to disagreeing again.
Good evening, Packers fans. Welcome to Cheesehead Radio, your official kickoff to the Packers preseason, which starts, can you believe, tomorrow night against the Chargers? Thank goodness football's back. Joining us tonight as our guest is the latest member of the Packers beat staff, Wes Hotquist from the Green Bay Press Gazette. Be sure and stay tuned in as we give him a Packers Nation baptism right here on Cheesehead Radio. Live listeners to the show will notice that we are operating the chat right on the Blog Talk Radio page again, which can be found at blogtalkradio.com/cheeseheadradio. So, by some miracle, for 2 weeks in a row, yes, indeed, the chat is in sync. I am John Rehor from Cheesehead TV's Eat More Cheese, and I am joined by some of the finest writers in the Packers blogosphere as my co-hosts from allgreenbaypackers.com. Jersey Albreco, from Cheesehead TV, C. D'Angeli, from Cheesehead TV's Eat More Cheese, Jamie Jors, and from Pocket Doppler and Midwest Sports Fans, Amanda Lawson. We have got a ton to talk about tonight. Let's get to it.
Jersey Al and Jamie bring you this week's Packer News.
Well, thank you, John, and good evening, everyone. Last Friday night, the Packers held their annual family night event, and straying from the norm, there was no rain this year. All events went off without a hitch, and the Packers held a spirited intra-squad scrimmage in front of 55,000 cheering fans. The scrimmage ended with a field goal kicking contest among some Packers linemen, which was won by T.J. Lang.
Now that simulated action is out of the way, it's time for some real preseason football. The Packers travel to San Diego tomorrow night to take on a Chargers team looking to reverse the impact of a very disappointing 2011 season. Coming off their bye week, the Packers defeated the Chargers last season by a score of 45-38, a barn burner of a game that highlighted the Packers' defensive woes. Tomorrow night's game will be televised on ESPN.
And as this game rolls around, the Packers have woes of a different kind, namely injuries. So much so that Mike McCarthy cut short the last few practices and switched from pads to shells on Tuesday night. There are currently 19 Packers on the injury list, with 17 definitely being held out of this first preseason game. The most prominent names on that list are Greg Jennings, Marshall Newhouse, Sam Shields, and Brandon Sane.
Although just a preseason game, this contest has taken on significance of a different sort. College football referee Shannon Easton will make a groundbreaking appearance as the line judge for this game, the first appearance ever by a female referee in the NFL. Easton is one of the replacement officials that the NFL has brought in while they negotiate a new labor deal with the normal referees. Easton eagerly accepts her role as pioneer and says that with every step, I hope to show it really doesn't matter if you are male or female.
And another thing that doesn't matter is how the Packers lost to the Giants in the playoffs. Clay Matthews recently expressed that he felt the Packers lost the game more than the Giants won it. Giants defensive lineman Jason Tuck responded to Matthews' comments, asking who caused the fumbles and sacked Aaron Rodgers. We unfortunately know the answer. But if Matthews is using self-criticism as motivation, that's fine with me.
Those were your top news stories for the week. Cheesehead Radio now brings you Gems from the Packers Twitterverse.
This week's Gems from the Packers Twitterverse.
I forgot about that.
So did I. I'm going to laugh every time.
Me too. Starting us off this week, Aaron Nagler summed up the general feeling this week when he tweeted that NFL players are ready to hit someone not on their own team. This is verified by tonight's guest, Wes Hodkowitz, who quoted Tom Crabtree as saying, "Last 2 weeks have been more like 2 months. We're all pumped up to hit somebody in a jersey other than a green one."
Well, good thing they're not playing the Eagles or Jets then. But our own Kyle Cousineau tweeted today that he and Wally Pingle, organizers of Throwback Weekend 2, will be meeting with the folks at Green Bay Distillery tomorrow to finalize the details of this year's event. Stay tuned, everyone.
The hilarious TJ Lang and Josh Sitton Twitter repartee gets better and better. First, Lang tweeted, "I thought Sitton was pooping. Turns out he just sits down to pee." Then, just earlier tonight, Sitton posted a picture of the two hamming it up on the team bus in San Diego. Twitter favorite Sonny then tweeted, "Sitton and TJ Lang are a better love story than Twilight."
And Aaron Rodgers surprisingly broke his Twitter silence this week to comment on, of all things, the U.S. women's soccer team. Rodgers tweeted, "Unreal goal by Cal alum. There were cheers all over Lambeau for our USA women. Congrats, ladies. We'll be watching you win the gold Thursday." That's a great job there by Rodgers, and for that, he is awarded the Cheesehead Radio Tweet of the Week.
Tweet of the Week.
Okay.
So we just had to spice it up a little bit.
No problem with that.
Good. All right. Well, hey, guys. Welcome back. By the way, we haven't seen her in a little while. Amanda Lawson is with us today. How you doing, Amanda?
Well, I'm doing good. It's good to be back.
Good to have you. We have Amanda back, and we lose Kyle this week. Kyle couldn't make it tonight. So still got our band of five with us today. Let's get right into some make it or break it. Tomorrow preseason, a lot of stuff going on. This is kind of a question. Lee and John and I were just talking in the chat room about Aaron Rodgers and whether we even play him or not. Just in general, just go around the table here. What are you guys looking for in this preseason game?
No injuries.
Too late.
Yep.
Well, why do you think I'm saying no injuries? I mean, not that we're
You need more injuries. Okay,
right.
Now I understand. Okay.
I mean, I already wrote about this week. If I was McCarthy, I wouldn't even play Rodgers. I'm sorry, but the idea of Herb Taylor or Andrew Datko protecting him on the blind side, I would sit him. He doesn't need to prove anything, but I really hope that we come out with no more injuries. I mean, I guess it's good you have injuries in the beginning of preseason, then the end of preseason, going into the regular season, but no more injuries. Can't afford anymore.
I think you got to get Rodgers a few reps against live action. It's a preseason game. If he thinks he's in any danger, he can just take the ball and throw it into the stands if he has to, you know. But I think you got to start getting that rhythm down against real live action, you know, and not wearing the red jersey and you can't be touched. So, having said that, I wouldn't put him in for more than two series. That would be my limit. Just, you know, two quick series in the first quarter and then take a seat on the bench.
I think we need to see these guys play and kind of get this little bit of anxiety off their chest. I don't know if I would start Rodgers. I kind of agreed with John on this one. I don't think he needs to prove anything, and I don't think it's worth the risk of him getting hurt. But I do think that some of our big guys need to go out there for a couple series because I think they're anxious to prove that we are not this fallen, broken team that we ended last season on. And so I think there's just that they just need that little taste of something. I mean, they're all talking about how this these last 2 weeks have just been, they've been long for them, and they're ready to go out there and have another great season and go for what everybody tries to achieve in the football world.
All I know is that I'm really excited to pay $74 to watch Aaron Rodgers throw the ball into the stands repeatedly. You know, they're going to charge $74. I hope he's going to do more than that. I will say this, that there is a concern on my part. And if you watch the family night game last week, for the most part, Rodgers had protection with that first string offense in front of him. Really seemed like when Harrell and Coleman got in behind that number two line, it was jailbreak, jailbreak, jailbreak. With so many injuries and, you know, going against some live competition, I would have to side with John on this. I don't think I would start him. I wouldn't start any quarterback. Maybe we should just, you know, put someone back and just run the option continuously too. That might be a little bit easier.
You know, if Graham Harrell is going to take the next step and become the next Matt Flynn, you know, and develop and hopefully go off and be either a quality backup or a starter, this would be a very good opportunity for him to play him a whole half, play him, you know, three quarters, and let's see what he's got. Yeah, it's the first preseason game, and, you know, at some point the Chargers are going to pull all their starters too, but I don't know. You know, the idea of the most important player on the team playing in a game that means literally nothing and risking an injury with really no proven backup behind him is a very scary proposition this early in the preseason for me.
I agree.
So the following week's game means absolutely nothing also. You don't play him then if Newhouse is back?
Yeah, that was going to be my question too.
If Newhouse is back, I would play him.
If he isn't back.
But if he's not playing, which he's not, no way I would play him. Absolutely not.
The second preseason game also.
If Newhouse was not back the second preseason game, I don't think I'd play him again. And if
what about the third?
The third.
Okay, so you are crazy then. Okay.
The third, I would play him regardless of whether or not Newhouse was back.
All right, so we just confirmed something. All right, no problem.
But that's why I'm here, because I'm not a coach. I view it as you're protecting your asset, your most important asset to that team. If there was someone like
so then Clay Matthews can play.
Do you want me to get into the whole preseason, John's personal beliefs in preseason? Because
we only have an hour.
So
I think we get the gist of it.
But
I think we get the gist of it.
I just think you're protecting your most important asset by not playing this game. And go ahead.
There's a little sense of irony here, though, as far as I'm concerned, that we're relying on Marshall Newhouse to be our starting tackle and save Aaron Rodgers' life.
Thank you.
Marshall Newhouse is our only hope. We've got deeper issues than just whether or not he's going to play in this first preseason game.
But the other option is you go back to what they used to do in 2009, 2008. You do the musical chairs and swing Lang out to tackle him, put EDS in there, or move. No. You know, you find the guy, and apparently it's going to be Newhouse. Well, if Newhouse isn't healthy, and if you want to risk your MVP, Herb Taylor protecting him, even if it's for four snaps, what would happen if he got hurt? Everybody would second-guess McCarthy and say, why did you even put him in there? By not putting him in there, you eliminate that possibility. You just say, sorry, not playing. You know, Graham, BJ, go have fun.
I'm just disappointed because I feel like Drizzy Allen missed a really good opportunity to say, John, you crazy.
Well, I did in the chat, so I didn't want to repeat myself.
Twice, I think, actually.
All right. Well, let's move on. I think we beat that one to death. Speaking of quarterback, and I thought this was interesting because if you're following the tweeters and you're following the coverage every day, there's kind of this Graham Harrell, BJ Coleman debate. You know, we can go back and talk, but this might even go back to like the old Joe Montana, Steve Young, although a far lesser debate than that. But, you know, who are you kind of rooting for here? I mean, if you're a betting person and you're looking at Graham Harrell, kind of a known quantity. I think we know he does not have a particularly high ceiling. I think he's going to be limited. And then you got a kid like B.J. Coleman, who's got kind of this rep and an attitude and obviously far more raw. Are we set right now that Harrell's number two, B.J., is going to be on the practice squad and we'll see if he progresses next year? Or is anyone actually thinking B.J. Coleman could actually do the number two this year?
I'm not.
No?
I don't think there's any way that Coleman is ready yet. You know, he was a seventh round draft pick for a reason. He's very raw. You know, he's got an arm, which is why they like him and they look at him as a mold of clay, but it's going to take a couple of years for McCarthy, you know, to mold him, to mold that piece of clay. We have no choice but to go with Graham Harrell now, in my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, like, I think it was Chris just said in the chair, you're going to go sign Donovan McNabb?
Yeah.
I mean, no. Sorry.
Put a statue back there.
It's a very risky proposition, I mean, to go in with the guys. But it's the same thing that we did in 2008. Everybody thought that Brown was going to be the backup. Some thought he was going to be the starter. Everybody thought Brown was going to be the backup, right? And everybody figured Flynn was going to go to the practice squad, and it reversed. And by some miracle, Flynn developed. But we don't know what we have with Graham. We really don't know what we have with BJ.
Was that more a matter of how bad Brom really was than how good Flynn was the first year?
Well, I'm not saying that Brom was the second coming of, you know, of anything.
Right.
You know, when you're hot garbage, and you clearly prove that. But I just think it's very risky, you know, for a team that's got such high expectations this year. You're basically going into the season with two unproven guys backing up the league MVP. And I'm not saying that if Rodgers were to go down, which of course he won't, but if he were to go down, you know.
This is scary. This is a scary conversation.
Right. And that's why I wouldn't play him tomorrow. And that's why I'm leery that, you know, we need to really see some improvement from Harrell. Now, from what everybody said, he's taken, you know, leaps and bounds. But what is a leap and bound progression, you know?
In practice, nothing.
Right. I mean, you have to get out there and play that game. I mean, how many of us doubted Flynn until he actually went in and played against New England? Because even when he went in and played against Detroit, he didn't play that well. It wasn't until he played against the Patriots. We were like, okay, he's pretty good, right?
Yeah, but, you know, I think what's interesting about Coleman versus Flynn and where there's some similarities is we always knew Flynn was a gamer. You know, this is a guy who's been at a top-level program. This guy played in big games. You kind of saw that. You kind of see the same thing with Coleman, that he's, I don't know, he just comes in and he savors that competition. I'm not saying we should play him this year, but I think he's got that potential down the line to really step in and be another Matt Flynn.
Well, I think he'll be much better than Matt Flynn down the line.
Really?
Absolutely. Three
wow.
years? Absolutely. But, assuming that McCarthy can work his magic, you know, and get him to get the accuracy on his passes that he needs. Right now he's got the arm but not the accuracy. I think he certainly has all the confidence in the world. And I think that Coleman will be definitely better in 3 years than Flynn is.
Can I
you
ask
heard
a
it here first.
Let me ask a question.
Yes.
Let's say Coleman doesn't make the 53 goes to practice squad. Will he survive the practice squad, or will somebody pick him up?
I think someone takes him. That's the dilemma.
And that's
the dilemma.
And then you're basically giving a roster position to a guy, you know, who you're hoping is going to be better, you know, a couple years down the road, but right now is basically a practice squad guy would probably be really a fan.
Yeah, I mean, that's the hard part about it, John. You know, unless they work something out, you know, like they worked out with Gurley and Borrell last year, where they decide to pay him the league minimum, even though he's on the practice squad, and in exchange, he agrees not to go to any other team. Don't know. I mean, that'd be the only possibility. But, yeah, I mean, they McCarthy just hasn't kept three quarterbacks, so I don't know why he would do it now all of a sudden.
Right.
All right. So I think we're in consensus, Graham Harrell this year, Coleman next year, year after. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right.
Aye.
All right. Moving on a little bit here.
Moving on.
Yeah. What's our next topic? What do you think? Toss one out there, you guys want.
we kind of veered off there because you started with what are we each looking for in preseason
right.
game one. And I think John was really the only one that got to answer.
Oh.
Yeah, we just surprised the rest of us.
Yeah.
Not to say that John was hogging the spotlight or anything, but we just kind of went off on a tangent. That's what I meant.
What are you looking for, Al?
What am I looking for? I'm looking
yes,
for a pass rush, any kind of pass rush. I want to see the defense get in the opposing quarterback's face, and if I see that, I'll be happy with whatever happens game one preseason.
Right.
What's a pass rush? Oh, this
What's
we haven't seen in like
rush?
2 years. That's right.
Facetious question. Okay.
Jamie George, what are you looking for tomorrow?
I'll go with a running game. Let's just stick with last week's thing. Let's run the ball more than 10 yards. Let's do that.
All right. Amanda Watson, what do you think?
Oh my gosh, I want a little bit of everything that everyone said so far. Like, oh yeah, that sounds good. Oh yeah, that sounds good. But yeah, I think I'm going to really be looking at the defense and just seeing that there's something there that we can do.
I think I'm going to be looking at that secondary, and Devon House has really made a push this year, and I think it's been a pleasant surprise to see him pushing certainly two guys that have, you know, certainly never been spared the axe on this show, you know, and Sam Shields and Jarrett Bush. But if this defense is going to be successful, and with Dom Capers talking about running more and more dime defenses, you know, not only are you going to need all three of those guys to be effective, you're going to need a good number one cornerback now that Mr. Woodson is back at safety. I'm really looking forward to that. I want to see how that, because it was really disturbing me once again, Sam Shields, missing tackles, in family night. Those are not physical errors. Those are mental errors, and that's what that secondary has to fix. You cannot make mental mistakes when you're playing in a dime defense.
Agreed.
Oh, that thing where we wrap up and actually bring someone down instead of like playing patty cake with them, trying to shove them out of bounds.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But fundamentally, they're working on it in practice. They apparently just can't do it, you know, in like a game situation or even like a scrimmage situation on a regular basis. Unless you're, oh yeah, Jarrett Bush just tackle well. Can't cover, but I'm not going to go back to last week.
Right.
Well, I think the House thing will be interesting to watch just because I feel like everyone's been talking about him throughout training camp. And I don't know. I mean, like, the scrimmage is fun to watch, but it's still just a practice. I want to see them in an actual game. And I'm putting game air quotes here, but I want to see him in a game, and I want to see Moses in a game because I feel like they've been kind of the standouts from training camp. And I feel like there's always these people, especially the first 2 weeks of training camp, and then we never hear from them again, or we hear from them, but it's not as exciting. A little bit like the apostrophe last year. Like, I'm glad you're on my team, but you weren't your training camp self.
All right. Well, let's move on a little bit. John, we have not had a fully effective rant from you yet.
Yeah, I'm getting, like, you know, crap from it in chat, too, because I haven't ranted. What should I rant about?
Let's talk about Justin Tuck.
Justin Tuck?
Justin Tuck. Justin Tuck of the New York Giants, who, of course, decided to throw a little smack back at Clay Matthews. You and I were at that game. I don't know if we would actually blame Clay for saying that the Packers beat themselves because they sure couldn't beat anyone else that day. Is this the beginning of a rivalry?
Definitely the beginning of some bulletin board material. My whole thing about what Justin Tuck said is this, and I was talking about this on Twitter quite a bit this afternoon, so if you're not on Twitter, which I think he is, but for the sake of, what Justin Tuck said was that he...
Did you just say you're not on the Twitter?
No, if you're not on the Twitter, but I think everyone knows that listens, and if not, get on the Twitter.
Okay.
Anyways.
Go ahead.
It's not the fact that he kind of, you know, threw it back in Clay's face. It's the fact that he called it a gift. And, you know, that whole term of gift I just kind of viewed as very douchey sounding, like, you know, like they were purposely trying to give the game away. I just don't, like, just have some class. I mean, seriously, I don't think Clay should have said what he said. He should have just, you know, been quiet. He was asked a question, so he answered the question. I'm actually trying to find the exact quote that he said, just so I can kind of remind everybody here. But there was no reason for Tuck to come out and say what he did. He came across very, we can get edited, right? Of course we can. Very jackassery with his comments. And I just didn't agree with it. What did Clay have to say? I'm sorry. Trying to find it. I can't find it. I can find what Tuck said real fast, because I have that saved on, you know.
Matthew said the fact is the Giants didn't beat us. We beat ourselves.
Which, you know, I think anybody that watched that game, yeah, I think you'd probably agree that the Packers got their ass kicked that day. In every aspect of the game, they played their absolute worst game at the absolute worst time. And Clay came out and said it. We didn't beat, you know, we gave the game to him. Let's just put it like that. And Tuck had to say, well, thanks for the gift, Clay. Honestly, dude, you won the championship. Just shut up. Just shut your damn mouth. I hope to God that they get destroyed when they play again this year. Nothing pisses me off more than athletes who are complete douchebags after they win something and they come out and they're like, you know, we're the best at everything. Just shut up. Just shut your mouth and have some class. The fact it comes out of New York doesn't really surprise me because it's New York, but, you know, just shut up. You don't need to come across like that. And I know that I don't always say the perfect thing to everybody, but, you know, I at least have a little bit of class. I don't need to come out and say, you know, thank you for giving us the game, Clay. I appreciate it a lot. Way to go, buddy. You just put bulletin board material for the Packers for the entire season. I hope to God the Giants go 0-16 this year and lose, you know, 50-0 every game just because he's a complete D-bag.
Does anyone else have any opinions? That you're, I'll mute John so you don't have to be afraid of any backlash.
I personally don't have that huge of a problem with what Tuck said or with what Matthew said, and you know, it doesn't really bother me. These are football players talking. It wouldn't, I mean, I don't think it would motivate me any, but maybe that's just me.
Well, you're not playing either.
All right.
Yeah. I think it's interesting you have these two titans. I mean, you know, Justin Tuck obviously is probably one of New York's best players, and obviously Clay is one of ours. So it's interesting you have this conversation taking place, you know, in the media for us to, I guess, kind of take it. It's good for us. I mean, it's something for us to talk about. It's something for us to get excited about. Do I think it makes a big difference? No, but you know, like I said, it's going to hype up this game a little bit more. And, you know, heck, right now, the Packers shouldn't need any more impetus to outperform what they did in the playoffs last year at this point.
There's one, I know that we're going to get off the topic here, but I'm going to read this one thing that Tuck had to say, okay? Quote, when they fumbled the ball, I think it was us that stripped it out. Tuck explained of a key play during the playoff win. We sacked them. I think it was us who beat their O-lineman and got to Rodgers. So I don't think they just O-laid everything and gave us the game. I think they were trying to win. You think? Do you think that they were trying to – you know what? We went 15-1. You know, we're kind of tired. We played a lot in the last year. You know, we don't really want to win. I think they were trying to win. Those are the comments that pissed me off. It's not the fact that he made a comment. Like I said, I think Glacier does not say anything to begin with, but the fact that, you know, Tuck comes across just so douchey. I can't even think of another word, you know?
But John, but well, look at it from the other perspective, okay? Look at it from the other perspective. You're on the New York Giants. You won the Super Bowl. And now here's Clay Matthews saying, well, you didn't really deserve to win that game. We handed you that game. Wouldn't you be pissed?
I don't play the game, you know.
Right, but I'm not asking you if you play the game. I'm asking you, wouldn't try to be objective and look at it from the Giants' perspective. Here's a team that you ran over on the way to your Super Bowl win, and the guy's saying, you didn't really beat us. We let you beat us.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, Al makes a really good point because I know a lot of Bears fans who said the exact same thing when we beat them to go to the Super Bowl. They're like, we handed you that game. Cutler was injured, blah, 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 blah. I mean,
right.
You know, you make a good point. I agreed with you, John, up until that point.
Maybe the reason that I take it so personally is two times in the last 4 years, they have crushed hopes to win a Super Bowl, right? And I think that's my biggest thing. If it wasn't the same team, I probably wouldn't be so upset, but it's the fact it's the same team, you know, that killed us in 08 and just whooped us in January. It was sitting at that game and watching it was unbelievable. Just watching a season fall apart right there, you know, and, like, there's nothing you can do about it. So
I was there with you.
I know.
It was tough.
It was horrible.
It was tough.
Horrible.
Horrible. My profanity horrible. Is still hovering over Lambeau Field. What I was...
And in the chat room.
Did not curse in the chat room.
The cheesy chat,
which we're going
to call it.
Time to transition.
Yes.
Anyway, well, it is time. We have a very special guest with us today. He is the newest beat writer for the Green Bay Packers. Please welcome Wes Hodkowitz.
Cheesehead Radio special guest.
And I went out of my way to ask Wes while I was in the screen room, how do we pronounce your last name?
So I was right.
No, I asked him. This is what he said. Wes,
but I told you how. Go ahead.
I said it right. I just can't spell it.
Right.
Wes, what do you have for a last name? Tell us all so we know.
It is Hodkowitz.
That's
nice,
just what
I think three syllables.
I was right.
If I was typing phonemically, I would have had it.
Exactly, I think just to keep people on their toes. That's I think that's why my ancestors went that way with it.
Mm-hmm. Now, but before we start, I got to tell you one thing. Wes made me one of the happiest guys I think there is because I sent him an email and I said, "Okay, here's how we're going to do." And I always put in the thing: we are actually legitimate. We're not just setting you up for something like that. We're a real thing. Here's our
ID. You still have to do that, CD.
And no, but this was the coolest part because he's the first person. He emails back. He says, "Oh my gosh, I listened to you guys last year when you interviewed Pete and Rob and those guys. You guys are great." And I'm like, he listened to us. This is so cool.
Wait, he listened to us?
This is great.
Oh gosh, semi-famous.
Believe in yourself, CD. Okay.
What can I say? You guys are famous, yeah.
Well, Mr. Hodkowitz, why don't you just
very well.
Thank you. Give us a little background on yourself. You are the newest beat writer for the Green Bay Packers. What's your history? What brought you to this point, and how are you liking it so far?
Well, first off, before I say anything, I got to give a tip of the cap to John Rahor there. I think he taught me like three or four new curse words during that rant, but he's the man over there.
Thanks, Wes.
But anyway, yeah, I actually started at the Press Gazette back in August of 06. Up until last month, I was just a general assignment sports reporter. So covered a lot of preps, covered a lot of gamblers, Green Bay gamblers here in town. Pretty much everything that wasn't Packers was on my docket. And then over the last 3 years, they kind of started intertwining me a little bit more with the beat. I was fortunate enough to cover the last three NFL drafts, which was tremendous, and fill in whenever Kareem was gone or Mike was gone. There was a couple times I filled in. I filled in on family night last year, and as it happens, Kareem went and followed his fiance down to Indianapolis, which opened up a spot, and 6 months later after that, here we are, and I found out right in the middle of last month this was actually going to happen, so it's been kind of a whirlwind, but definitely a lot of fun.
Well, welcome aboard, Wes. We're enjoying you. This is Jersey Al, so welcome to the show.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Hey, listen, let me start you off with the first question here. It's going to be about Alex Green. Personally, I was expecting Alex Green last year to be the surprise player of the season. I thought that by the end of the year, you know, he'd be a major contributor, but then the injury happened. Now, right now, I'm frankly amazed that he actually made it back this quickly. And from what I've seen, he looks pretty good. He looks like he's not favoring the knee. And I know the Packers are being smart and taking it slow, but how has he looked to you?
He's looked phenomenal. And, you know, to be quite honest with you, I was blown away by the fact that that first training camp practice came around and he was actually ready. I didn't expect that at all. And I think talking to Mike McCarthy a little bit here, and some of the other guys, James Starks, who he's really close with, I think it took everybody by surprise a little bit. But Alex said right when he came back that, you know, last March, he really, really set a date for himself, wanting to make sure he was back and back practicing by the start of training camp. And not only did he do that, he's done it without really looking like he's had any limitation. He looks just as explosive as he was last year. And that's always one of the things that's a big question when you come off of knee reconstruction. And so far, I've been really impressed with him. Now, right now, it seems like they obviously set out a practice yesterday. We really don't know how many reps he's going to get in San Diego, but it's going to be fun to watch him play. He's healthy right now. It's just a matter of making sure that you know, you don't push him too hard, too fast.
Absolutely, absolutely. So you see the same things out of him. That's good news for the Packers.
All right,
John.
Yes, good to finally talk to you, Wes.
Nice to talk to you too, sir. I've been waiting for this day.
Actually, I was like, I have a chance to talk to Wes. I've talked to him on Twitter for about a year and a half at least now, and it's good to finally talk
to him. Well, you've been following me for about three when I was tweeting about you know, cross country results. So, I definitely I got a whole big thank you to you for that sticking by me.
Not a problem. So I know it's early in camp. But just wonder if you can give us a couple of opinions. Give us one player who you think might surprise and make the 53, and one who might be a surprise cut.
As far as surprise and make, that's a tremendous question to start off with. The one surprise I think that's going to make the 53, and I wrote about it today, and I guess depending on how you view players and how you value them, it's kind of up to everyone's perception. I really think DeAndre Burrell at this point is making the roster, though. He has looked phenomenal so far in camp. And Torrey Gurley, and if you talked to me 2 weeks ago, I was telling you, hey, they're going to go with six wide receivers, and Torrey Gurley is going to be the sixth one. And right now, DeAndre Burrell has just blown me away, and I wrote my story on him for tomorrow. Just his ability, you know, last year he was making that transition from quarterback, moving over there. He's pretty much just on the outside, and he comes back this year, puts a lot of work in during the off season, and now he's, you know, he's operating out of the slot. He's out, you know, he's basically backing up Randall Cobb right now on the kickoff and punt returns, and everywhere he can basically get himself into the lineup, he's doing that right now, and he's doing it exceptionally well. I haven't seen him drop a pass yet in 2 weeks. So as of right now, projecting it out, you know, another month down the line, I think he's a guy that's going to make the roster. And And I think he's going to do some nice things. That's just me, though. We can, you know, wait and see and figure out how that goes from there. As far as a player that I think might not make the roster, there's a couple. You know, originally my answer was Charlie Pepper when I was asked this a couple weeks ago, and, you know, that situation kind of took care of itself. I guess, you know, if I had to say a player that wouldn't make it, and just is obviously way out of the box, maybe an A.J. Hawk. And I don't know about that for sure, but you look at the Packers' defense right now, and the only spot where Hawk is playing is that base defense. And with them incorporating more of that dime, I don't know where his spot's going to be, because it looks like D.J. Smith is taking those reps. So, you know, and we'll have to see, because obviously he has a big impact here, but for his salary tag right now, I wouldn't be blown away if he would end up not making it, just based on the fact that he's not playing in nickel, he's not playing in dime, and if they take more of those reps, he only played, a quarter of the reps last year in base defense. I don't know if there's a spot there for him, but that's just my thought, you know, and it could shake out either way. But, you know, when you put me on the spot for who I think, you know, might be a surprise that doesn't make it, I might go with Hawk.
Wow, thank you. Did not expect to hear Hawk's name.
Yeah. I believe A.J. Hawk is driving to your house right now, too.
Unfortunately, they're all in San Diego, right? And he's a good dude. You know, he's a really
solid
guy.
So you get time
guy.
To
I'm
run.
I'm just wondering, you know, I don't know his exact salary tag this year, but with that extension they gave him for the amount of snaps, if there be a surprise, maybe it's him, you know, and we'll have to see. You know, it'll take some time to shuffle things out, but that might be one that could surprise people. We'll have to see.
Wes, this is Amanda here. Before I ask you my Packers question, you said you used to cover the Green Bay Gamblers a lot.
I do, yes, right.
I actually live in Dubuque, Iowa, and so I've been following the Saints really closely, and so I've seen
right.
a few of their games. Yeah, yeah. So
nice.
I was like, ooh,
very,
I
very cool.
know about them. Yeah.
United States Hockey League all the way.
Oh, yeah. They're fun games, actually. I was surprised the first time I went.
Yeah, they're very underrated. I don't, you know, if you give a Gamblers game a shot, I think though you'll find something you like in them. They've done a pretty good job,
yeah.
and it doesn't hurt when you're winning too, though. So,
right, exactly. Anyways, before we get off topic, I just kind of want to ask you a little bit about James Starks. You know, he's shown some potential in as being a up and coming running back potentially for the Packers, and that's huge since we really, really would love to improve on our running game. But it hasn't quite happened. How do you think this year his role will develop on the team, or will it develop?
Well, that's a good question. Yeah, and the big question for him is going to be not only the running side of things, because as we've seen in the past, you know, he's shown, you know, spurts where he has that talent to be a guy that could carry the ball when you need him to. I think the big thing for him, depending on, you know, if he keeps that spot or not down the stretch, is going to be his pass protection. And right now in the early going, you know, he's had a little bit of trouble with that. And that's going to be one of the things I know McCarthy's talked a lot about them trying to work on with him. And moving forward, I think that's going to be what it takes. And I did a story a few weeks back sort of with this, and in that when you're a Packers running back, it's no longer this Amon Green rushing for 1,800 yards over the course of the season and really being that bell cow back. Well, now it's more about, yeah, we'll take what we can get from you rushing-wise, but we also need to keep Aaron Rodgers protected. So I think that's going to be the thing that separates him down the long run. Going into the season, he's the starter, no question, barring any kind of injuries. But that's what I think he needs to do to take that next step. And if he can stay healthy, I think that's going to be the thing that really puts him over the top. But right now, the Packers showed a lot of commitment to him. They didn't go in. They didn't bring back Ryan Grant. They're going to stick with this young core and see where it takes them.
All right.
Awesome.
Who's up? Oh, it's
you
me.
Are.
Yes, I am. All right, this is a question, Wes, and I know this is very, very important. Kelly asked this in the chat, and I know that Colin asked it earlier today on Twitter. The impact you are going to have on the insiders.
Ooh.
What special talents do you have? I can tell you some of the ideas that have been brought up in the cheesy chat.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
I don't know if I want to know about those.
No, and actually it's very clever. They're talking about you having a sock puppet that is the only one of you that will talk to Vandermouse.
Yeah, Kelly.
But Are you looking forward to the insiders, and what can we look forward from you on that?
I think I am. And Rob Domofsky said at the end of last year, hey, you know, we're gonna redo some things. He pulled the plug on the operation. We'll see how things all unfold. Obviously, I'm going to play some kind of role in that. But I've thrown out a couple ideas to Rob. We'll see if any of them get implemented. You know, he's obviously the executive producer of this, and we'll see what he does with me. But I'm excited for it. It's gonna be cool to get on there. You know, I was able to get on there a couple times last year, and during the Tom Pelissero days, I had a couple like extremely cameo appearances. But I'm excited for it, and I think, you know, hopefully we'll be able to bring something different to it and keep it entertaining. I think this is the sixth season now, so you know, you don't want to, you know, run the well dry either. So hopefully I'll be able to do some stuff that'll keep it entertaining and also somewhat informative. So I'm looking forward to it though. Should be fun.
So is that a yes on the sock puppet or a no on the sock puppet?
Hey, I will. I'll throw it out there. You know,
okay.
Vandermoss kind of rules the roost over here. So we'll see if I can work that in there.
All right.
Non-committal on that one. Okay. Wes, my next question was actually going to be about the Packers receivers group and the crazy Domofsky prediction of seven wide receivers, et cetera. You kind of touched on that a little bit earlier, so let me just veer off a little bit there and instead ask you about Torrey Gurley. As you mentioned, he was pretty much the guy that everybody assumed would be that number six receiver, you know, forcing the Packers' hand. And all reports, as you just stated, are that Burrell is really the talk of that second group of receivers there fighting for a last spot. What is it about Gurley that has disappointed? Is it just a speed issue? Are they just concerned about him not being able to separate from defensive backs?
Yeah, that's part of it. I actually haven't been too disappointed in his speed. The main thing that kind of concerned me from when I did see him, obviously now he's out with that groin issue. And it's not really like a deal breaker. It's just, you know, it's more with them being as deep as they are was just some of his reception. You know, he had a couple drops in practice.
Really?
and during some of the team periods that just, it's one, some of those plays that you expect players to make. And then there was also during some one-on-one drills, you know, Casey Hayward had an interception over him and obviously a much smaller guy. And so that was the thing that concerned me the most. It isn't so much – I still really like Gurley. I think he's a tremendous talent. I mean, it's been well documented now, everything he can do on special teams, whether it's punt blocking, you know, being able to get in there with those long arms and as quick as he is, and his size. I mean, 6'4", 232 pounds,
right.
That is about as prototypical as you're going to hope for in a wide receiver. And especially being that he left South Carolina earlier, I – thought that was a great move by him to stay on the practice squad. It's just right now, looking at what the Packers need, I'm really, really intrigued by Burrell being able to go across the middle, being able to be a slot receiver, and his hands, and I don't know, and the big test is going to be these preseason games, but his hands right now, I mean, he has not dropped anything, and I could be wrong, but from all the practices I've seen, I mean, anything that a quarterback puts in his general vicinity, he's getting to. So I guess my beef isn't so much with Gurley. It's just I've been really, really impressed with Burrell in the early going.
Okay.
Okay, Wes, this is Jamie. Nice to finally speak with you.
Hey,
going to go back to the running game. I know we've kind of been over two people in it so far, but with Sain and Bennett both out for tomorrow's game, what kind of role do you see Mark Tyler having? I know he's just coming back from his injury. How has he looked since coming back from it, and what do you expect from him tomorrow night?
I'm expecting to see a lot of Mark Tyler, especially since with the injury history that James Starks has, I don't expect Starks to play more than a quarter. I think you got to be careful there, and if nothing else, I mean, this provides you with a tremendous opportunity to see what you have in Mark Tyler. You know, he had that shoulder injury, but now he threw on that brace on that left shoulder that he's had problems with the past. He doesn't like wearing it, but he's actually making that effort now. He said he felt a little bit more comfortable with it, and to see him actually get some actual carries now and see how he does with an offensive line. You know, if they can keep some of the starters in there and see how he reacts with them. I expect to see a lot of them, and I think that's going to be a big barometer of where he's at right now going into this season, if he's a guy who can actually contribute. Brandon Sain was looking really good before he came down with his injury and really looked like he could be that third down back that really can do everything for these guys. And whether it's catching out of the backfield, being a consistent runner, he was probably their best in pass pro so far. So I'm looking to see what Mark Kuyler can do to put himself in that equation. Now, I did like Duan Bennett too, but now he's out with a knee injury. And it's going to be interesting to see what Tyler can do now that he gets the reps, now that he gets the opportunity. And he said it himself yesterday in the locker room when we had a chance to talk to him. Basically, this is going to be his best opportunity. After this, the reps are going to go down because they're going to want to get Alex Green going more. They're going to want to get Starks running in a consistent basis, and you don't know when Sane's going to be back. So this is his best shot right now to really impress people, and that's what I'm looking for him to do tomorrow in that game.
Awesome.
All right. So Marshall Newhouse has been ruled out for tomorrow's game. Derek Sherrod is still not able to play, so that means Packers down to Herb Taylor and Andrew Datko, probably a left tackle. So are either of these players even feasible options as a backup or third option down the line, or are they really both the second coming of Alan Barber?
I don't know if we can throw the Barber label on him quite yet, but I will say this. I really like Datko coming out of Florida State initially. He's had a tough camp, especially in the one-on-ones. He's gotten beat a couple times. Herb Taylor, I don't really have a huge problem with him other than just that label of, hey, this is a guy who, yeah, he's had some NFL experience but actually hasn't participated in the game since 4 years ago. That's a little bit concerning to me. And that's nothing against him, but just I think if it's been that long, I mean, that makes me concerned that no one ever really gave him that shot. So I don't know how feasible those guys are, if a Newhouse would be gone for, more than a couple weeks. But I still think there's potential there with Datko. I don't know if that's potential to make it on the roster. Maybe that could be one of your practice squad guys. I'm not sure. But he obviously has the athletic ability. It's just more about where that shoulder's at for him. And just getting down with those, being able to transition now to the NFL style of game and what the Packers asked for in their offensive linemen. I said this a couple weeks ago that offensive line, I think even without Wells, that's about as sturdy as they've ever had as a group when healthy. The big question is now what happens when someone isn't. And I was listening to you guys a little bit earlier. I still think Rodgers should get some reps, maybe a series. I don't know, maybe just a couple snaps. I think you should still get him in there. But, I'd be a little bit cautious with Taylor being at that left tackle position right now with Newhouse unable to go. And looking forward, they're going to be looking for a lot from those guys because right now, I mean, I think really EDS is the only one right now that I think has a sure lock on a roster spot, so behind that starting offensive line. So I think some questions will get answered, though, tomorrow. We'll probably get a better look at Taylor and what he can do, going up against the Chargers.
Okay.
All right.
Up next.
Deadly silence. Amanda, are you going?
Hello.
Oh, my gosh. I thought it was John.
Hello.
Sorry. My bad. I'm sorry. I was not ignoring you. I was just waiting my turn. So my question is about Nick Perry. We've heard a lot of good things about him, and that's great and all, but I just kind of wanted to know what your input was, because I feel I'm just very hesitant that people are getting really excited because they're like, oh, he's going to release some pressure off of Matthews and this is going to be great. They're going to just be like a duo that's going to totally dominate our defense. What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, well, first thing I will say is that I think the outside linebacker picture is going to be much better than last year. Last year with the revolving door of Zombo and Jones and Walden and everything they dealt with, that was no good for anybody. And they feel like Perry's going to be the guy that can kind of give them that pass rush. I want to see him in coverage. We haven't seen a whole lot of that yet, how he's going to do when, he's not rushing. I wouldn't say, Nick has completely blown, the cover off here in the beginning of training camp. I think it's been a little bit of a slower progression. But he showed some definite bright side, an upside when he beat Brian Bulaga a couple days ago in one-on-ones with the Bull Rush. I think that was Bulaga's first loss during one-on-ones. So he definitely has what it takes to compete for this team. It's just about going to be making that transition from going from that 4-3 to 3-4. But it's Perry's job. I'd be very surprised, especially with Eric Walden having a one-game suspension right now, I'd be very surprised if Perry's not the guy lining up at starting outside linebacker at the beginning of the year. But I just don't know if he's going to be that Clay Matthews guy that's going to break out right away and is just immediately going to be a Pro Bowl caliber outside linebacker. I think he has the tools to get there, but I don't know if it's going to be as quick of a jump as what Matthews made. But it's going to be fun to see him actually get out there and compete now. And I know you guys were mentioning this earlier. It's going to be nice to finally see these guys out there and competing against another team. We've seen them so many times, you know, repetitions with team drills and 7-on-7s and 1-on-1s. It's going to be cool to actually see them go out there and play another team. One of my favorite pastimes has always been watching those reserves play and seeing who steps up and who's going to be the Vic Soto of this year's team. So we'll wait and see. But I think Perry, he's going to be solid. It's just I don't know if it's going to be immediately.
All right.
Thank you.
Hey, Wes, Mason Crosby has taken his lumps here at Cheesehead Radio probably over his whole career. We keep hearing he's 4-for-4 today. He's 3-for-3 today. He's 157-for-157 so far in camp. He's the greatest kicker ever. And then he goes to family night, and they have the hurry-up offense, and he goes out and shanks it. And then they back him up, and he shanks it. Back him up, and he shanks. Then he makes one, then he shanks another. What's your thoughts on Crosby? Is this guy, you know, he's proven himself, and yet we always have that concern when the clutch time comes, is he going to come through? Are you a believer?
I will say this, and I will, if I need to make a decision right now, I will say yes, I'm a believer. Just because you look at what happened with Billy Cundiff last year with Baltimore, and that's kind of always the kicker Billy Cundiff's been, and, you know, how that ended their season and how difficult that can be. Crosby is a good kicker, in my opinion. And the biggest thing was, you know, with family night, and we'll have to see how things go, throughout the course of a season. But with family night, the big thing, you know, afterwards, Tim Massey talked about it. There is a definite change on the field as far as the wind and the wind current and how things go. There are some adjustments they're going to have to make when they are kicking those long, you know, 40, 50-yard field goals, as far as, you know, where that ball is going to fly. And I think that was one of the things he was fighting at family night. But aside from that performance, he's been pretty solid in practice. And I know you mentioned it, him being, you know, 157-for-157 and everything. But he's looked really solid early on. It's just going to be a question when they get into Lambeau what kind of adjustments they're going to have to make. And I know that's something that, you know, Slocum's been working towards right now and Massey's been talking about. And I think they're going to find an answer there. But based on what I've seen in the NFL and some of these teams that are just absolutely struggling to find anybody that can just put a ball through the uprights from any distance, I think the Packers are pretty well in hand right now with Mason Crosby. And those things can change. I mean, you look at, you know, different kickers in the league, the Jeff Reeds of the world and some of these guys, the Shane Grahams, who they were the best kickers in the NFL, and the next thing you know, they're free agents trying to latch on during training camp. So anything can change, but as of right now, I've been impressed with Mason Crosby. I think he's a pretty solid kicker back there.
Jersey Al? Or who's up next? Hello?
Any more questions?
Jamie, go ahead.
Oh, okay. Well, I was actually asking you a question in the private chat. but anyways, yeah. Okay. BJ Coleman, practice squad or on the team?
Practice squad. As of right now, I'd say practice squad. In my opinion right now, Harrell is a couple light years ahead of Coleman as far as his development and where he's at and as far as comfort of going into a game. That's not saying BJ Coleman doesn't have the tools to be a backup to Rodgers. But right now, Harrell's shown a little bit more composure so far in training camp. Coleman had some pretty disastrous two-minute drills these last couple days, obviously. Not so much yesterday, but on Sunday and Monday, he had some pretty rough outings. At one point, they just had two straight sacks. He was facing a 4th-and-30, and it just didn't really go very well. And with Graham, I know obviously the book on him, he's an undrafted guy. You know, he spent a year out of the league before the Packers even went and got him. But he's developed really well in McCarthy's system, and I think they're going to get the most they can out of him. As for Coleman, though, long-term, I'm really intrigued by him. He has great size, 6'3", has a terrific arm. It's just mostly about that accuracy right now. I want to see what they can do with that. He's had a couple overthrows and, you know, a couple bad plays here and there. But the one thing I give him a lot of credit for, and McCarthy said this a couple days ago, a lot of times with a rookie quarterback, you're very cautious with them going in. You run very basic plays. You try to build the confidence. You run time-tested routes that you've done 1,000 times. And what they've done with him is they've just thrown him in with the rest of the installation and just said, you know, this is what we're going with. This is our plays. And, you know, go out there and perform to the best of your ability. And he's done well with that. It's just a matter of right now, I think it's Harrell on the roster. I think you try to stash Coleman and go from there. But and the only reason I really say that is I just think they're going to need that roster spot for someone else, whether that's trying to carry, you know, more tight ends again, or, you know, trying to carry wide receivers or maybe an extra linebacker, defensive lineman. I just think they're going to need that roster spot for somebody. And then you like try to, you know, have Coleman, hope that Coleman stays there. But I think McCarthy said, for the most part, I think it might be like 50-50 right now in the league that teams are keeping two quarterbacks compared to three. So I wouldn't expect the team wouldn't, you know, snatch him up, but you never know. But right now that's what I would do if it was me.
All right. Jersey Al, did you have one final question since we kind of lost you there for a second?
Yes. I wanted to actually take it off the field real quickly. I know you've only – you know, being in this new spot here for a couple of weeks, Wes, but which, you know, looking into the locker room, which players have you enjoyed talking to the most, and who would you say are the least talkative guys with the media?
Tremont Williams is by far one of the best guys you guys are going to meet. He's tremendous. Every time I've talked to him, I've always enjoyed it. Yesterday, he was actually in a little bit of a rush, and I asked him for a really quick question for a story I'm working on. And he took the time to do it and then completely scampered out right after that. He's a great guy, and he answers your – he thinks about what you're asking. He answers it very thorough, and I really appreciate that. Nick Collins was tremendous when he was here. Obviously, his situation now and where he's gone. But Nick Collins was a great guy, too. I enjoyed what he said. Ryan Pickett. I mean, there's a lot of guys. Randall Cobb. I mean, Charles Woodson when he talks. I mean – There's a lot of guys in that locker room that are definitely pretty good guys to chat with. As far as least talkative, let me think about that one. I would say maybe right now Mike Daniels. And I don't think Daniels is a bad guy or anything. He just doesn't have a whole lot to say. He's mm-hmm. He's a little bit more tight-lipped. Oh, and by the way, I should throw B.J. Coleman in there. If you ever get a chance to talk with B.J. Coleman, you guys will love him. He's definitely an extrovert. He has a very bubbly personality. I've enjoyed chatting with him before. But, that's a tough one on the other side of the token. I hate to do a cop-out on that one because I'm trying to think of who it might be. But, I might go with Daniels right now just based on, you know, he has been a little quieter at the beginning of things. But there's definitely a lot of solid guys in there to chat with.
Okay, thanks.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, at Cheesehead Radio, we have been blessed to be talking with the newest beat writer for the Green Bay Packers. He is the Green Bay Press Gazette's Wes Hodkowitz. Thankfully, you can follow him on Twitter at a much shorter handle. It is just Wes Hod, WESHOD. And if you are a subscriber to the Green Bay Packers, packernews.com, is that right, Wes?
That is correct, sir.
All right, and of course he and his sock puppet friend will be making their premiere very soon on The Insiders over there. So if you are a subscriber, you're definitely in for a treat this year. Wes, thank you so much for joining us tonight. It is an honor to get to meet you and have Packer Nation get to hear your voice a little bit after we've been reading all your tweets for all this time.
Well, I appreciate it, guys. Thank you very much. And if I do get beat up by AJ Hawk, I'm sending you guys a medical bill.
That sounds good.
Try to find us.
Well, so thank you guys very much.
Too,
I enjoyed it.
So. All right.
Thanks, Wes. Have a good night.
Wes.
Have a good night.
All right. You guys take care.
All right, thanks. All right. Awesome sauce.
Good guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can see the enthusiasm, you know, guy is kind of on his first training camp mission there. That's gotta be exciting.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And you said opinion. I always like that.
Yes.
A lot just happened. I don't know what's going on. Thank you all so much for joining us tonight on Cheesehead Radio. And thank you so much to Wes Hodquist. I'm all tongue-tied, twisted, whatever, tonight, for joining us tonight. And thank you to everyone who put up with me saying hi in the private chat with my scary font. Cheesehead Radio is available on iTunes, so head on over and subscribe. You can also tune in on Stitcher on any mobile device.
All right. Well, it is our first game tomorrow at San Diego. What are you guys predicting? Win, loss, or don't care?
Don't care.
That's what I figured. All right. We might be back next week. I know we're going to have transplants going next week, so we'll try to work around that if we're going to see you. But thank you very much for joining us. Go, Pack, go.
Woo.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.